Hello and welcome to The Tips, a new weekly podcast from the DP World Tour. This week, we are previewing the Porsche European Open and the Memorial Tournament presented by Workday from Muirfield Village. As ever, we have the help of some expert guests who will be diving into the facts and figures to provide some insight into where the value may lie. Before we start, it is important to note that this podcast is aimed at listeners aged 18 and over. All odds were accurate at the time of recording, and the betting information is aimed at a UK audience only. Please remember to gamble responsibly, and for more information, visit begambleaware.org. This week, we're pleased to welcome back Dave Tindall and Kit Alexander, who are becoming regulars on the show, and they are joined by Martin Matthews, another freelance golf writer who is making his debut appearance here on The Tips. Before we get into this week, let's have a little look back, and I'm going to come to you first, Dave. I mean, I think we had a bit of a nice winner from you with Andy Sullivan, first round leader at the KLM Open.
Yeah, he's good at this, isn't he? Starting fast and then fading away. But yeah, I got him at 100 to 1. I was surprised he was those odds because he'd done it recently. You know, got off to those fast starts, and he did it again in the KLM. Part of the thinking was, do you remember that time when he won a trip to space by getting a hole in one in this tournament? So I thought he had some nice connections with it. He later revealed he doesn't like flying or heights, which wasn't ideal. So I don't think he took up that offer, but he did me a favour anyway. Although I didn't win enough to fund my own trip to space, but it was still a nice profit.
Well, there you go. Well, there was a hole in one, wasn't there, with Michael Lorenzo Vera this week, and I don't think he got a space trip, Kit, did he?
No trip to space for Mike Lorenzo Vera, unfortunately. But it's nice to see him coming back into a bit of form, actually. Lorenzo Vera's had a really fallow period sort of around COVID, a great character, starting to be a bit more of a voice on Twitter now if you're into following your golfers on social media. He's been really resurgent. I think that's his third top 10 of the year. So yeah, nice to see a character like Lorenzo Vera, who's so good for the DP World Tour. I think any golf tournament's got more value and is more entertaining when he's in contention. And he seems to be showing the form that got him up into the top 50 in the world, I think, only sort of 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was one of the first, maybe the first ever 14 Club Challenge with the eventual winner, Pablo Larrazábal, which is very entertaining to watch him. But I do think his biggest highlight was not hitting a ball more than 10 yards a few weeks ago, which has done hundreds of thousands of views so far and keeps going.
I was on lead commentary that week in Korea. It was the greatest tee shot I've ever seen at a professional golf event. Just skied it, didn't even reach the water hazard like 40 yards in front of him. But the best thing actually was he just laughed it off. It was at the final round, you know, he's coming back into form. You could easily let that affect you, and it just says a lot about the man and the character and why he's so popular. He just laughed it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, he is human. It's always nice to see. And so Pablo wins in Holland, and then we have Emiliano Grillo, the Argentinian wonder kid, working and winning over the Charles Schwab in a playoff. He nearly gave it away with a double bogey on 18th, but managed to survive and win the playoff against Adam Schenk. But let's get into this week's action, starting with the Porsche European Open at the Green Eagle Golf Course in Germany. Yep, that's right. The Porsche European Open returning to the Green Eagle in Hamburg, Germany for its sixth staging of the event. Last year, we saw Kalle Samoya shoot one of the best rounds of the season, a final round 64, which vaulted him from outside the top 20 to a two-shot victory. And we had other great winners through the years. Marcus Armitage winning the 54-hole edition the year before that. And of course, who can forget Richard McAvoy holding off huge names in 2018 to get the job done. If we look at the course itself, it's over 7,600 yards, making it the longest course on the schedule for the DP World Tour. And from the tips, it can even get over 7,800. Last year, only 15 players got under par and the cut was 5 over. So pars are definitely going to be incredibly valuable. Guys, let's jump over to you, the experts, betting experts, that is, first of all. And Martin, what do you make of this golf course? When you were going through your research, what were you really putting a premium on stats-wise for who might go well?
Well, thanks, Ollie. It's a bit of a weird one, this course. It's if it's to be believed, it could have six par fives in it this week, which, Kit, I know you're a man for your stats and historical facts. I don't know if that would be a record for the DP World Tour, and it's showing as having six par fives. Obviously, you've talked about the length, Ollie, which would initially make you think that this is going to be a bit of a bomber's paradise. But one look at the history tells us that actually it's not been, and you've already touched on McAvoy taking down Big Bryson back in 2018. It does tend to be a case of how the weather factors in as to how the course will set up. So the year Jordan Smith won, it was pretty wet, and he's one of the longer hitters on tour. McAvoy obviously won the shorter, and it was a dry year, and it was also a dry year the year Armitage won in the three-round COVID-impacted event. So to answer your question, Ollie, I would see accuracy and approach play as more key than the booming it off the tee, basically. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for fairways. I'm looking for greens. And also I'm looking for scrambling, play around the greens. If we look at the historical stats here, the short game has been pretty key. And that's certainly a focus on one of my tips, if not both of them.
Yeah, great. Looking forward to getting into your tips. The big debut wants to start well, does Martin Matthews. So that is one area we like to look at. Dave Tindall, we also like drawing comparisons, other courses when we go through this. Any that spring to mind that sort of are absolutely massive, but some short hitters have done well at?
Yeah, I agree with what Martin said. It's a bit of a red herring to look at the yardage. And they've held Nordic Golf League events here with names like Master of the Monster and stuff like that. And you think, oh, this, you need to hit it like 500 yards off the tee. But it's all a bit, as Martin said, a bit of a red herring. And if you look down the stats down the years, yeah, the winners or the leading players have had better driving accuracy stats. I did notice that our colleague on here, Matt Cooper, had likened it to some courses in China, and the fact that they're kind of new. I think this one opened pretty recently, didn't it? And they kind of sculpted out of new land, and it's maybe favours a certain type of player. So form from China can be quite good in a correlatory sense. But yeah, apart from that, I agree with what Martin said. Don't just go to the driving distance charts and pick two or three players from there, because you know you need more an all-round game to succeed here, I think.
Yeah, great. And Kit, I imagine this is one of the many courses and places around the world you have visited, so you've got first-hand experience of it. But let's focus more, actually, given the worldwide tour that is the DP World Tour, on Germany, because German golf is just going from strength to strength at the moment. I mean, we had Marcel Siem, Max Kiefer, Nick Backham win recently. A bit further back is Yannick Paul, who's obviously pushing for a Ryder Cup spot. How good is it to see that just grow again from the days of, you know, Langer and others?
I think it is one of the elder statesmen that deserves a lot of credit for that. Marcel Siem's resurgence seems to have kind of gone hand in hand with these young players coming through. And I know he's very close to a lot of these young players and sort of helping them in their first tentative steps onto the DP World Tour. Freddie Schott and he are very tight. I mean, you mentioned some of the names there. I really like what I've seen from Yannick Paul and Nick Backham, you know, two winners, doing it in very different ways. I think also a lot of credit's got to go to sort of the German Golf Union and Federation over there, you know, and Team Germany, as it were, in the amateurs. They're investing in it young, and they're giving that team structure to give players the opportunity to go on and progress. And I think a big thing that you see with these European federations, perhaps more so than we're used to in the UK, is that support continues once the players turn professional. They're not just left out there on their own. There's very much still a team vibe, whether that be Germany, Spain, Sweden. They do a very good job of supporting them and putting them in touch with someone like Marcel Siem, who can go, you know what, welcome to the tour. I'll show you around. This is what it's like this week. This is how you get your clubs from A to B. All these little things we don't always think about. But there's a lot of players to be excited about. Manny Schmidt's a huge name. Yannick Paul, Nick Backham, Freddie Schott, Hurley Long, who showed some good signs last season. Haven't seen so much of him this year as well. A lot of really good players, a lot of support from the German Federation, and experienced heads like Marcel Siem helping them when they're out on tour, and they're starting to get those wins again. Yannick Paul, Nick Backham, another one isn't going to be far around the corner.
So that's spot on. But I do mean, if it's a monster course and we've got Hurley Long playing, I mean, the headlines are all right, really right to themselves. So, you know, we're all about vibes bets here, and that could be one of them. But I think this is a perfect segue. We've just spoken about the strength of German golf, and I've not read too far ahead of my notes, but to kick us off with your first outright, Martin Matthews, who have we got headlining for you this week?
Thank you. Well, big drum roll, and Kit's built it up very nicely for me there. I'm going to go with Yannick Paul. He's obviously pretty near the top of the betting, so this certainly couldn't be classed as a left field pick. But he does have everything that I'm looking for this week. Kit touched on the fact that he's a strategist. We're looking for strategy over bombing it this week. He's just come on leaps and bounds. He's obviously got the first win on tour in Mallorca back end of last year. But he's not sort of rested on his laurels, or he's not having that sophomore season downgrade. He's had a couple of runner-ups this year, perhaps a little bit disappointing he didn't get the job done out in India, but he had the back-to-back second places in India and Thailand, obviously lost out to Seam in India, and he's just kept it going. He's had his first major cut made at the PGA Championship recently, and he's had a week off, so a week's rest, and he should be raring to go. He was 18th here last year when he came in no real great form, and obviously, as I say, he's just come on so much in the last 12 months. He'd had an 83 at the KLM the week before or thereabouts, and to close out, and still came in the home spotlight, if you like, and posted 18th. So he looks like a man who can handle the home pressure, and he's an interesting character to me. He's a late bloomer. I mean, he's 29 now, and he went to college out in the States, Colorado. And Dave will probably remember this when golf came back after the COVID break. He was a name that was popping up on sort of the outlaw tour. I think he won in Arizona when we were all looking to sort of where can we find some golf, as it were, or just before the end of the COVID break. So he's just come on so much in the last two or three years, and all of his stats really time for what we're looking at here. He's fourth on tour and approach, eighth in greens, ninth from tee to green, and 44th around the greens. So he's got everything you're looking for basically in his game this week. So I'm going to start off with him. He's 28-1, 2 points each way.
Also 11th in scrambling, which you absolutely, which you said would be key. Yes, Kit, what else have you got for us here?
A nice story is twin Jeremy plays on the Corn Ferry Tour as well. So we often see golfing siblings coming through, and there are a couple of twins there. So potential in the future for two sets of twins on the Ryder Cup team if the Højgaards and the Pauls can get it going.
It'll be really interesting from the Ryder Cup angle if he can deal with the expectation and cheering of a crowd, because you obviously get that more than ever he will if he's in that European team in Rome. So as Martin mentioned, that was 28-1. You can get there still for 2 points each way for him. Dave, the veteran compared to Martin, who are you opening up with for us this week?
Yeah, just a note on the Pauls. I've got a teenage daughter, so the Pauls are Jake Paul and Logan Paul in our house.
I'd take Yannick and Jeremy all day long over that combo, all day long.
Yeah, even at boxing, they'd beat them as well.
Yeah.
So I've landed on Joost Luiten as my main pick. If only everyone could do a blog like he does. He does a weekly blog on his website. Often you go to a player's website and you get like their backstory or what equipment they're playing. I don't care. I want to know a little inside nugget that's going to help me. And he just does it every week. He's really honest with it. And he just gives little tips where his game is. He doesn't pull any punches. And it's really, really useful. And some players, they just, you know, they're trying to convince themselves. But with him, he really just sort of says it as it is. If he's not playing well, he'll say he's not playing well. If he's seen something, then he'll point that out. And if you track what he says compared to his results, it does sort of pan out. And if you look at his results in the last few months, he's got third in Thailand, third in India, played in a South African tour event, was ninth, and he was third in Korea as well. So lots of top threes in his last sort of seven or eight starts. Then last week, obviously, the KLM Open, his home event, a little bit disappointing, but he was still tied 21st. And I still thought his numbers were pretty reasonable. If you're looking for strokes gained off the tee, then his numbers are really good. So he was fifth strokes gained off the tee at the KLM Open. He was first in career off the tee and gained 10 strokes tee to green. So Luiten's long game is in a really good place. Now, I think it's just going to come down to how his putter is this week, because that's the thing that can get a bit hot and cold with him. But he said on his blog, he said he's driving across to Germany from from Holland, and putting will be the main thing he's looking at. So he's keeping us up to date with, you know, that's what you want to hear. He did play this a couple of years ago in the shortened event and was 11th. So he's got a bit of course form as well. So I think you're looking at a player, a bit of course form, plenty of good recent form, and he does what I think what you need to do at this course. So Juice Slouton, I thought, was a good bet at 33-1.
He's a good par three player as well. And there are six of them on this course as well. Five of them, yeah, as well as the six par fives, five par threes. So I think looking at players par three kind of average over this year and last season is pretty good. And Loughton's normally up there in that stat.
There you go. As you say, distance was the only thing really he was down a bit driving distance. And it sounds like that isn't, you know, at a premium. And 11th a few years ago, and that was after an opening round 76. So he really brought it back. Interesting, you also pulled up Thailand and India there. He was third in both of them. Yannick Poole was second in both of them. And Marcel Siem obviously won India, and Thorbjørn won the other side. So could be a trend there. But 33-1 was your pick there, and that's 2 points each way. He got a mention last week, but he didn't get picked. And that's so he may just be trending perfectly for us, is Mr. Loughton. Okay, Martin, on to your second and final pick for this event, please.
Right, I'm going to go with the barn rat, Kiridich Afi barn rat. And I've struggled to, I was amazed to see that he's still actually only 33 years old. He's been around for so long, you sort of think that, he'd have one eye on the seniors tour, but he's not quite out there with Tong Chai Jai Di yet. So he's still only 33. And he's obviously lost his way over the last couple of years. He tried and failed, to put it bluntly, to sort of transfer over to the PGA Tour. He talked about when he came back onto the DP World Tour and he went through qualifying school back in the last year to get his card back. And he talked about how he feels at home on the DP World Tour. He was basically homesick out in America, the sort of hotel rooms and what have you obviously didn't suit his... sort of stuck there watching college sports in the hotel room as they supposedly do on the PGA Tour. So he's started to find his feet again on the DP World Tour, and he's had a really good couple of weeks. He was 15th out in Belgium and 5th last week in Holland. So he's certainly trending. And one thing I often look at when I'm looking at sort of, you know, someone coming into event and course history is not only how they performed, but what sort of form they were in when they did what they did, if you see what I mean. And I thought it was quite noticeable that he was 34th here last year, when he was trying to juggle the two tours. He'd missed the cut in Holland, coming back over to Europe after just about making the cut in the Byron Nelson just before that. And the only other better result he'd had all season was a 28th in Puerto Rico. Similarly, he was 37th in 2017 in a wet year that we've touched on already. And something I should mention is, if the forecast is to be believed, we're looking at a dry year this year, which brings a lot more of the shorter players into it. So I like the fact that he had two solid performances when in no form at all, basically. Whereas this year, he obviously comes in trending. He closed with a 69 on Sunday, was 12th in greens in regulation on Sunday. So he was hitting the irons nicely. And to come back to those scrambling stats, he's right up there on tour in the scrambling stats. He's always been known as a great short game protagonist. So I like the fact that Kiridich is on the comeback trail. And of course, he's a four-time winner on tour. Well, some class acts on the high up in the betting here. There's also a few which sort of perhaps less consistent, should we say, in the winner's circle. So Kiridich at 66-1 made plenty of appeal, and I'm happy to jump on board 1 point each way.
He is just a strokes gain machine at the moment. I think approaches, we're having a look at, was 22nd, tee to green 13th, around the green 3rd, and top 20 for driving accuracy as well this year. So he's really finding some brilliant form. And as you say, that was 66-1 for 7 places. And that's good for a point each way from Martin for the Thai golfer. His first one was over 10 years ago. So it has been around for quite some time. And Dave, your second pick and final one this week at the Porsche European Open, please.
Yeah, well, if you look at the history at Green Eagle, the first 4 winners were English. Not quite sure why that should be the case, but it's a fact. So I thought I'll have an Englishman on board. It's a slightly left field one, Dan Bradbury. has been taking the eye. I know a couple of sort of mates who've sort of followed his career have been getting quite excited following his progress in recent weeks. He flickered at Dubai when he shot middle rounds of 63-68. Poor final round, but I think that's what got him to attention for maybe the casual viewer. First time maybe he'd come onto the radar. Then the last 3 weeks, Italian Open 32nd, a Sadal Open in Belgium 10th. That was a really good effort. He was really quite up there as well, wasn't he? I think on the final day, quite close to the fringes of being banging contention. Then backed it up again with a 29th in the KLM Open. And again, I've talked about good drivers. I think he's 28th for off the tee this season. And recently, his strokes gained off the tee numbers are really good. 5th in the KLM, 15th Sudal, 6th at the Italian Open. And then at the Sudal, he was first tee to green. So lots of good signs for Dan Bradbury. Putted poorly at the Sudal. That's what stopped him from getting that win. But he did have positive strokes gain numbers at the KLM Open. So I like that about him. And yeah, I just thought he was a decent price for someone who's still a bit under the radar. But so he's got that good, that backing of going through the college system in America. And he's just starting to show things. What one little thing, he's 80-1 on the outrights, which is great. And I'm happy to take that. That's with Coral. I think 7 places. But if you look at his scores, he always seems to play well on a Friday. So if you're having a little match bet on a Friday, back Dan Bradbury. I don't know quite what it is, but he seems to enjoy those second rounds.
Yeah, love that little nugget. And as you say, that's 1 point each way. Thank you for that very comprehensive look at the Porsche European Open in Hamburg. Still, we now have time. Everyone loves this. We're waiting for it. It's the knowledge that you're going to express. Let's see if you can beat Ben Coley with a quick game of Who Am I? Yeah, we've got 3 people playing this week. And as ever, it's hand up if you know the answer. I'm just going to go through and I've just found someone in the field who just caught my eye and give some pretty obscure facts about them and figures. And then each way we'll get through and see if we can work out who it is. The record to beat is 2nd guess from Ben Coley. So if you get it first, well done. Okay, who am I? Here we go. I attended Nova Southeastern University in Florida from 2014 to 2017. Kit Alexander.
Richard Mansell.
Rich, I need to make this harder. Richard Mansell is correct.
At least you didn't know that, Dave, anyway.
Wow. Don't do obscure knowledge on players that played on the Euro Pro Tour when I'm on. That's where you've fallen at. Yeah.
I was about to say, Ben Coley's on holiday, but he'll be fuming.
Which number was the one when he shot? Was it a 58 or a 59 in college or something? 59, I think he shot. Was there one about that?
Yeah, left that out because I thought you might. The other ones were he's earned just over €1 million. Runner-up in his 2nd ever start at the Euro Bank. Had the 54-hole lead at the Alfred Dunhill last year. And then played for Great Britain Ireland in the Hero Cup in January. So I feel like
If we were really struggling, shares the surname of a man who can drive really fast.
That was for 0 points. That was option 6, yeah. Well done, Kit. I mean, you've ruined a really fun game, but no.
Sorry, Ollie, and sorry, Ben.
No, not at all. Well, he's one of my picks for the week. And if you don't fancy a bet, then definitely get involved in the fantasy game. Head over to the DP World Tour website and you can build out your team with 6 players and compete against your friends there. And he can certainly feature in that. Okay, now it's time to have a look on the PGA Tour for the Memorial Tournament presented by Workday. Yes, time now to head to Muirfield Village in Ohio for Jack's tournament. It is Memorial Tournament presented by Workday. We often see this way. It's set up tough, this course. Just a few weeks before the US Open, we've seen some wild scores, 9 under par in 2020 when John Rahm won, and there have been lots of big name winners here. Patrick Cantlay included, Hideki Matsuyama, just a guy called Tiger Woods won 5 of them here. So some big names, including Billy Horschel last year, who cruised to a 4-shot victory on Sunday. Bit about the course, it's hosted everything. The 1987 Ryder Cup, where obviously we saw the famous dancing from Mr. Alathabol on the 18th green. 2013 President's Cup, another memory was Tiger's 5-wood to 3 feet on the 15th. And in 1998, had the Solheim Cup. So the only venue to have all three team events. It's changed a bit since then. 2021, we saw a redevelopment by Jack Nicklaus, lengthening it to over 7,500 yards, which means that's the double for that this week with the courses. And it's really well known for its brutal finish in the final five holes and very penal rough. Crucial when looking at some stats there. There used to be some long odds winners. David Lingmerth at 500 to 1. William McGirt was 200 to 1 back in the day, but they have definitely shortened so far. Best players do come to the fore here. The ball strikers with the long irons in particular, six winners ranked in the top 10 for strokes gained tee to green the last few years. So guys, over to you, Martin, firstly. Is there a type of player or that attribute, is it particularly that you'll be looking at when making your selections this week?
Thanks, Ollie. Well, Mr. Nicklaus's courses traditionally are the closer you get to the hole, the harder they get, basically. So he gives you a little bit of room off the tee. So I'm not so fussed on driving accuracy this week, but certainly approach plays always been key here, and the short game as well. Of course. One thing that's often played havoc with this tournament over the year is the weather. Much to Jack's irritation, there's been a lot of wet years and he's never really, well, not never, but often not been able to get the course to how he wants it. But a little bit like Green Eagles, I think we're going to get a dry week, and they've not really had any bad weather coming in either. So I think we've got 4 days, as the forecast can be trusted, 4 days in the high 80s. So I'm expecting firm, fast. Jack to be sat there sort of wringing his hands together and sort of ratcheting up the green paces as much as he can. And I think we're looking at finding those pins as much as possible with the approach and obviously the short game.
So let's get into the picks then. Martin, starting with you.
I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at those guys at the top of the market. And I do feel that fatigue is something we need to factor in at the moment. And we've obviously, I mean, I heard Scheffler interviewed last week at the halfway stage, and he talked about fatigue kicking in from the previous week's PGA. So I am wary of the guys this week who have been sort of at it now for this will be the third week running, possibly fourth week, obviously if they played in Texas the week before as well. So a little bit of that, and then from the flip side of the coin, those who have had the week off, perhaps sort of just starting their build up for the US Open. So I do feel there's some hope for those away from the sort of very top of the betting market, and I'm going to go with Jason Day as my first selection here. Obviously Jason Day's his comeback story has been well documented to the win at the Byron Nelson the other week, a good synergy because that was where he posted his first win on tour way back when. And one thing about Jason Day is when he wins in bunches. So, of course, he had his career year then 2018. He won again. He won three times, I think, in six starts, including back-to-back. So after he posted the win at the Byron Nelson, it was a missed cut for him at the PGA, where he didn't even play a practice round, which I think said it all, really, obviously off the euphoria of the win. So I'm hoping he's now gone home, sleeps in his home bed, and stays to sleep in his home bed this week because he lives half an hour up the road. He should, by all reckoning, be very familiar with this track, although his record over the years doesn't necessarily back that up. But course form here doesn't actually tend to be hugely key. There's a couple of guys, obviously Rahm, Cantlay and Horschel last year, who do show great course form here and have sort of flagged that up. But there's been a lot of winners. I think it's six of the last eight winners between them have never had better than a 19th place finish here between them. So so actually, course form isn't key, but correlating course form is key. Bay Hill shows up time and time again, other Nicklaus designs. So Jason Day, he's a winner at Bay Hill. He's a winner at the Nicklaus design Glen Abbey as well, over at the Canadian Open. And of course, he's just doing everything fantastically at the moment. I mean, I'm sure Kit's got all the exact stats there, but I think he's basically top 20 in everything for the season. So short game to die for, which I think is what will be needed this week. And I'm hoping that now that he's obviously riding the crest of the wave, he keeps that momentum and it finally all comes together for him on obviously what would be a great local win for him. So it's Jason Day. I think there's a bit of value there at 28 to 1, 2 points each way. He's the one for me this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Real momentum player, as you're saying. He actually, there were two events here in 2020 and he was top 10 in both of them. So there are some happy memories, despite not always being there. Now you say scrambling, he's number one on the PGA Tour, and bogey avoidance, I think 3 or 4. So these high, which is very important, these sort of higher scoring events. So that is Jason, and that's 8 places you can get for that with Jason. Over to you, Dave, for your headline pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Ricky Fowler. Bit of a resurgence, isn't it, for Fowler this time? It's very tempting just to look at the top 4 or 5 in the betting and take your pick. And if I was doing that, it might be Scheffler, because I think you don't have to putt great here. If you go down the years, the stats say it's tee to green that's more important than how well you putt. But I think Ricky Fowler has some value. You can get 40-1 on him. He's a 2-time runner-up here. Lots of good finishes. Even 2021, when his game was going a little bit, he's had a good finish here. And he's just come back into form this year. It's like he's close to a breakout week. He's done all the sort of groundwork for something big. I mean, if you go through his results, he's got 11th at Torrey Pines, 10th in Phoenix, 20th at Riviera, 13th at Sawgrass, 15th at Hilton Head, 14th at Wells Fargo. And then Colonial last week, he stepped it up and was 6. And his short game was fantastic. I think he was first around the green. He did miss the cut in the USPGA, but I'm looking at that and thinking, well, it gave him 2 days off. So even though he's played in, this is his third in a row, you know, he's only played 6 of the last 8 rounds, which helps a little bit. I think, as with Nicholas courses, they always talk about it being a second shot. It's kind of track. That's what Jack was good at. That's what he liked about the Masters. This is a second shot track. If you go through the winners, so many have ranked highly in strokes gained approach. Now, Ricky Fowler's 9th in strokes gained approach this year, so he's really got that sorted since going back to Butch Harmon. And then I suppose the thing with him, the sort of gripe down the years with Ricky Fowler is, oh, he never wins, does he? He always sort of, he's the nearly man. And I think in majors, I've backed him a lot of times in majors and lots of colleagues and friends have, and they've always, oh, he's come 5th, and he's never quite got it done. So that's cast this reputation that he doesn't quite get over the line. But then if you look where he's won Wells Fargo, he's won the Players' Championship, he's won the Honda Classic, the Phoenix Open, and then in Europe, he's won the Scottish Open and Abu Dhabi. They're not just sort of they're quite high-quality grade events. Mm-hmm. And this is another one. So I think this is his sort of level where he can get a win, and having finished 2nd twice, I think Fowler is really waiting just to have a big week. And maybe if those big guns are a little bit fatigued, he can sneak through. But either way, at 40-1, I think he's a cracking each way bet.
I like the point you make about him not necessarily being associated with a winner or a killer. Those good results he's had this year, he's shown great consistency and his game's definitely better. It doesn't feel like he's been in contention to win many of those, actually really been in the heat of battle. Do you think he needs to get into the heat of battle a couple of times? Or is he the type of player that you can see the moment he gets there, those memories of all those great wins that you listed there will just come back and he'll be able to click into getting the job done straight away?
Yeah, I mean, you can juggle it either way. You can say that, say he'd been in contention in 3 of those and not got it done. Maybe that just feeds into the idea that, oh, I've got scar tissue. Whereas if he just goes out and as soon as he does it, he wins one, you know, it's sort of, he's going in there fresh. So yeah, you can spin it either way. But yeah, you might be right. He might need a Sunday back 9 where it gets the memories going again to get over the line. But as I say, at 40-1, if he just comes up short, you're still getting a nice each way price.
He's got an absolute new lease of life. So he qualified with the Open that you mentioned there with the 6th last time out. And if you get rid of his 64th last year here, he averages 11th finish in the 5 starts before that, which is pretty impressive going. So that's 2 points each way for Ricky Fowler, 40-1. And that's still 8 places available in with some bookmakers there. So a nice bet for your each way. Your second pick and final one for outrights here, please, Martin.
From a punter's hope point of view, I think Dave will probably agree with this as well. When we were presented as tipsters with these events at the beginning of the year, we were sort of probably thinking we're just going to be rotating Rahm and Rory and Scheffler around and whose turn is it this time, etc. But we've been given hope by the wins for Wyndham Clark and Kurt Kitayama in 2 of the designated events. I'm going to go down that theme with Byung-Hun Ahn, or I'm going to call him Ben because my pronunciation is probably terrible of the proper pronunciation. So Ben Ahn, and he's available at 125-1 this week. And coming back to that Nicholas angle, Ben's a bit of a specialist on Jack Nicklaus designs. He's been runner-up here, runner-up at Glen Abbey, two top fives at PGA National, obviously the home of the Honda. So he does love himself a Nicklaus course. And having found his way back onto the PGA Tour this year after obviously losing his card and posting win on the Corn Ferry last year, he's been pretty consistent. Well, he's been ultra consistent, to be honest. And I think he's had now five or six top 20 finishes across the course of the season. And he arrives having had a good week down in Texas last week, faded slightly on Sunday. Down to 21st, I think it was. But all in all, he's been producing some really good stuff. He was sixth at the Byron Nelson just before the PGA, which he didn't play in, so he's obviously fresher than some of the other guys. And it's not his putting, but it's his scrambling that his standout stat. He's actually in the top five on tour in scrambling, I believe. So that could certainly hold him in good stead this week if we get these sort of firm, fast conditions I'm anticipating and sort of work around the greens needed. He's long off the tee, can take advantage of the par five. So I'm happy to risk Ben to step up this week on getting back on a Nicklaus design that he loves. And I thought 125-1 was a fair price. So it's 1 point each way, Ben on for me.
Yeah, he's got some really impressive figures looking at them. He said second for strokes gained around the green in the whole PGA Tour this year, which has been amazing. And he struggled the last few years here, I noticed. But before that, his first four appearances here, he was top 25 every single time. So obviously does enjoy the course a fair bit. And it wasn't just second place here. He lost the playoff with Carl Stanley to Bryson back in, I think it was 2018 it was. So yeah, 125-1, eight places there for a point each way for Ben Ahn, which leaves us one more final outright from you, Mr. Tindall, please.
Yeah, another Aussie. So Martin went for Jason Day. I'm going to throw in Adam Scott. I'm surprised at his price. You can get 70-1 in a place for Adam Scott, and I'm not quite sure why. I mean, look at recent form. Wells Fargo 5th, Byron Nelson 8th, decent enough in the PGA 29th. And then you put him on a course like this where it's always seemed like an Adam Scott course. He was second in 2019. He's got three of the top fives. He's made 13 and 14 cuts. He's played the President's Cup here as well. You just think it would suit him. If it's a second shot course, Adam Scott's iron play will serve him well. And the weird thing about Adam Scott this year was his strokes gained approach numbers were horrific not so long back. I think he lost seven strokes at Sawgrass, six at Augusta, and you thought, well, Adam Scott, you take that away from him and it's a real struggle for him. And then ironically, his putting started going really well. I think if you look at his last three events, he's gained over five shots on the greens in two of them. But the big thing for me is that approach play has really started to turn around. You look at his numbers recently, Adam Scott, he's now from all his big minus figures in strokes gained approach, he's getting plus numbers all the way. Last three, he was 22nd in approach at the PGA, 12th at Wells Fargo. So that's kind of the bread and butter for Adam Scott. Now, if the putter, which obviously has been his Achilles heel down the years, if that's strong as well, then suddenly you've got an Adam Scott that seems to have all parts of his game at work. And after his good final round at the Byron Nelson, that's exactly what he said. He feels like all bits of his game are good. I'm surprised at the price. I know there are lots of other sexy other players in great form and, you know, you can't have them all that short. But I would have thought for someone like Adam Scott, the bookies might be a little bit more wary of him because he's such a classy player and, he's still got plenty of great golf in him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that is not the first time the word sexy and Adam Scott have been used in the same sentence. Oh, yeah. That's for
very
sure.
Good looking man.
Very good looking, man. Great. Looking at the PGA Tour website breaks down, yeah, from 200 yards plus, it's sort of top 10s everywhere in rankings-wise, which I think at 7,500 yards, you've got to think he's going to have a lot of those 5-6 irons into holes, which really play into him. So, yeah, 70-1 he is. Big odds, considering it was only a 64 from Cantlie in that 2019 final round that maybe sort of stopped him from winning it. So that was 1 point each way there from you, Dave. That's the two outrights. That just takes us on to our our specials bet from you each. And I think we've got a top 10 and a top 20, respectively. So if we start off with Martin and your top 20 bet here for this tournament.
I'm going to go with Kit's new favourite golfer, Lee Hodges. I'm sure Kit will tell us about Lee's famous sporting cousin afterwards, but I'm going to tell you about Lee Hodges, who's the name that probably people aren't that familiar with. But he's quietly really established himself on the PGA Tour over the last couple of years. He came onto the tour last season, eye-catchingly, this is his debut at Memorial, so we are taking a little bit to trust with how he'll take to Muirfield Village, but he really has shown up on two of his best performances last year were on Nicklaus Design, so on the PGA at the PGA National at the Honda, where he posted a top five, and also he was third at the Amex last year, which I know is an event that goes around multi-courses, but it does have a Nicklaus layout on there. And interestingly, if you're looking for clues for this event, we've got Duffner and Lingmerth, who pulled out the Amex several years ago. And I remember that very well because I was on Lingmerth when Jason Duffner put the ball on the rocks and somehow managed to play it. But that's another story. So, he's really shown up on the Jack Nicklaus designs. And that flagged him up for me this week. And what I liked as well is his form coming in. Has started to trend really nicely, finished off nicely at the PGA with a 69 on Sunday for 55th place. Not spectacular, but he's moved on to a good week at the Charles Schwab, where he was 29th, 14th from tee to green, 11th in approach on the week. And he's got four top 20s this year. And what's noticeable is that he hasn't, you know, like your sort of lesser names, you might look at them and think four top 20s, but they've sort of picked one up at Bermuda and another at the Corrales or something like that, the lesser events. He's showing up at big boy events. So he was in the final pairing out at a designated event at Riviera earlier in the year at the weekend, to going to Saturday, but then slumped slightly at the weekend, but still finished 18th. He was 14th at the Honda again, so another sort of track, as we say, that links in. And also top 10 at the Valero, which is another sort of, you know, bit of a monster of a track down at TPC San Antonio. So he's quietly going about his business, and I think he could nick a top 20 this week. And I thought he was decent value to do so at 17-2 in general places. So, yeah, just 1.5 points on that, I should say, as well.
There we go. Great. Yeah, as you say, does that, and he actually leads the tour in all close range putting. So if it comes down, to something there, he is number one, which is very impressive and a bit of a surprise when looking at that. I'm not sure if it has loads on Lee Hodges, but he might on the next man.
Dave, I've got one thing on Lee Hodges. Well, two things.
What was I thinking?
One is an Alabama boy, and the other, his cousin Logan Stenberg, is an offensive lineman for the Detroit Lions. I'm a big NFL guy, as well as golf. So there you go.
Well, of course you had stuff on Lee Hodges. Next up, I thought you'd definitely have, it's Dave's top 10 man in the special bet. Who have we got, Dave, to round off all of the picks this week?
Yeah, just quick. Lee Hodges, he sounds like a sort of holding midfielder for a League Two side, doesn't he? I'm sure if you go through Google, you get like four Lee Hodges.
Sorry to butt in on that, Dave, but if you Google Lee Hodges as a big Hammers fan, yes, I am, you will find that there was a Lee Hodges who played for the Hammers back in the 90s and was a good little, really? Sort of midfield dynamo. So I remember him reasonably fondly. But
There you go. Yeah, so Lee Hodges got that sort of famous family member. If only my pick had, I'm going for Ryan Fox. Oh, yeah, his dad was quite good at rugby, wasn't he? Ryan Fox, he had that brilliant season on the DP World Tour, didn't he, last time? Only Rory just pipped him for number one. He's carried it over to America this season. He's had some really nice finishes, 14th at Bay Hill, 27th Sawgrass, 26th at Augusta, 23rd at Oak Hill, and then 21st at Colonial. So a bit like Ricky Fowler, he's got this sort of ground, body of work that looks ready to kick on and really have a big week. And he's got good strokes gained approach numbers, positive in his last five events. And there was that little story, wasn't there, that at the USPGA when he was interviewed after his excellent first round, when he admitted he'd been suffering from pneumonia, and the fact that he was also a new dad. So in terms of getting any rest, that wasn't an ideal combo, was it? But he's come through that, played well last week. And then like the bonus little nugget with Ryan Fox, is that he's got a good record on Nicholas Tracks on the DP World Tour. Second at Mount Juliet, 13th at the London Club, 19th at Hanbury Manor. So he's only played those three and he's done well on all of them. So I don't know whether he's got a little thing for Nicholas Tracks. Hopefully that pans out here. But I think, I mean, it's tempted because he's been sort of throwing around that 20 mark to go top 20 as well. But I think he might have something a bit better in him this week. And I was just kind of seduced by the price. So if you look at Ryan Fox for a top 10, you can get 9-1. So I thought that's worth doing. Because I think one of these weeks, he's done enough so far where he's going to get hot and maybe push for that win. I'm not saying he can maybe win quite yet, but he can certainly get in the top 10. And I think he's just underrated because he had such a great season last year on the DP World Tour. You go to America, sometimes then you get eaten up a little bit and lost, but he's certainly showing enough there to show that he can hold his own there as well. And I think soon he'll be kicking on and challenging. So, yeah, Ryan Fox for a top 10.
Yeah, that's 2 points you've allocated there. Yeah, 9-1. You say we do know he distance is no problem and he's very good at the rough, which is the most penal. He's so strong, gets out there. So, and goes well on high-scoring events, is enjoying his special exemption and could go very well. Kit, anything on Ryan Fox to add to us, or have we covered it all?
He's a fantastic guy, one of the most popular on tour, Ryan Fox.
Absolutely, one of the great. Thank you, gents. That was a brilliant look from, I mean, we covered literally everything, picks and anything else for this week's events. But before we say goodbye, let's have a quick recap on all of those selections so far.
Looking at the Porsche European Open, and Martin Matthews opened up with the pick of Yannick Paul at 28-1 for 2 points each way. And he followed that up with Thai golfer Kiradek Appibarnerat at 66-1 for 1 point each way. Dave Tindall likes Dutchman Joost Luiten at 33-1, 2 points each way for him. And then Dan Bradbury at 80-1, 1 point each way. Then across the pond at Memorial, Martin went for Jason Day at 28-1 for 2 points each way. And Ben Ann is 125-1 for 1 point each way. Dave Tindall chose Ricky Fowler at 40-1 for 2 points each way. And Australian Adam Scott, 70-1, he is best price at 1 point each way. They then both threw a specials bet as well in this tournament. It was Lee Hodges' top 20 finish at 17-2. That was 1.5 points for Martin there. And then Dave Tindall finishing off and rounding off with 2 points on Ryan Fox for a top 10 finish at 9-1.
Well, that's it for this week's events. Thank you so much to our guests. Don't forget to follow them on Twitter. Martin, starting with you, the debutant, where can they find you and thank you for the winners this weekend?
They can find me at Martin Matthews at Sundog Monkey. And if you're brave enough to have me get back on again, I'll tell you the Sundog Monkey story and where that came from next time if you are so inclined. But at Sundog Monkey, yes.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Looking forward to that when we have you next time. And Dave, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm at Dave Tindall Golf. There's not a great story behind that. It's based on my name and the fact that I like golf.
Clever. And let's keep with that trend and move along to Kit.
At Kit on the Course. That's Twitter and Instagram. Similar thinking to Dave on mine.
Well, there you go. An in-depth preview into the two events this week. Good luck with your bets. Remember to always gamble responsibly. And when the fun stops, stop. We'll be back next week to see if we have continued our good form this season and to look ahead to the Volvo Scandinavian Mixed and the RBC Canadian Open, where Rory McIlroy will be aiming for a three-peat. Enjoy the golf and see you next time on The Tips.